I made a note in my calendar this after church to sign up for a Super Saturday, so I'm not eating roadkill. Would you join me in that? My name is Neil. I'm one of the pastors here, and really a joy to open up the scripture this morning. You ready for eating? Here we go. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. These three little words are the focus for our church as we start 2026. Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment of all the Jewish laws? And there are hundreds. What is the most important thing that the Bible says? And Jesus says not one thing, but two things. He says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Two commands entwined into one command, as if when we love our neighbor, we are also loving God. And as if when we love God, we will naturally love our neighbors. It will just happen. And since love is a rich and a broad concept, we're getting pretty specific about how we can love our neighbors. We're using the acronym BLESS, as we've been talking about. The B, begin with prayer. The L, listen. Put in the work that our guest preacher last Sunday, Peter Knittler, talked about to become amazing question askers. And if you had a chance to talk with Peter last Sunday, you discovered he practices what he preaches. He himself is a great question asker. Everybody loves to be given somebody's attention and to be asked questions, and everybody is interesting. And so we want to listen to people really well, listen to the people who live next to us. We're visually celebrating these things, and just a heads up, it's going to be a little hard next week because it's easier to pray, a little harder to listen. You got to make some time in your schedule to eat. Well, before we get into the E, let me update you on part of our Love Our Neighbor focus. We've been raising funds to do some welcome bags that we want to give out. And we have an update today. There's some new housing developments. We want to drop off these welcome bags. They're going to have items in them, in the bags, that are going to help us look up to God. It will help people look in to their neighborhoods, and then it will help them look out to the world. Pretty neat stuff in these bags. Last week, we heard that we gave $6,400 after 1 week of fundraising. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. And so then we set a new goal, a stretch goal for $10,000. And then we increased our welcome bag number from 1,000 to 1,250 bags for additional neighborhoods. So I'd like to invite up Whitney, one of our fundraising champions, to give us a little update. Whitney, tell us how we're doing.
Well, we didn't quite meet our goal. Just kidding.
Okay.
You guys killed it. Like, I cannot believe the love and generosity in this church. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. Give God a hand. Because truly, this is incredible.
$10,000. Amazing.
Can you believe that?
Awesome.
And what God can do with that is going to be just beyond our imagination. I cannot wait to see. You guys have incredible hearts. You're listening to the Spirit and just walk in the Spirit this week because God's going to do some great things. So, yeah,
fabulous.
You guys are amazing. Lord, just lead us and guide us. Let us bless our neighbors. Let us actually love our neighbors.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Whitney. And, hey, thank you, church. Which means our fundraising is complete. We're not doing more stretch goals. We are capping it right there. We have ordered all the items, and we're going to give out 1,250 welcome bags to our neighbors. Awesome. So, that's right. Amen. What a generous church. I love this church. Here's our next steps. Today, as Brent said, we have a prayer walk. Did you say that? You didn't say that. I'm saying it right now. I was like, wait a second. Let me tell you something. As we talked about last week, today's a prayer walk. It's going to be at 10:10. We're going to meet out here in the parking lot, and we've invited the second service folks to come early. And whoever wants to, Ty Benavides is leading us, and we'll get organized. And we got some maps and some prayer prompts to go out into several different new developments being built around our church, just to walk the streets and to pray. If you've never gone on a prayer walk before, this is the perfect time to start and just follow along. If you aren't one of those people who pray out loud, well, you can just come and pray quietly. And the person walking next to you, they'll pray out loud. And so it'll be for maybe 30 minutes or so, and then we'll be on our way the rest of the day. That's today, right after the service. Yes. Amen. Second thing we're doing, February 15th, we are going to pack the welcome bags after the second service. So come back at 12:30 to pack 1,250 bags. Aaron Stanfield, our welcome bag ringleader, has got it organized, and it's going to be a blast to do this. And then February 22nd, we're going to start handing them out. Come to any service, and if you want to take bags to drop off after on your way home, you get some bags and some addresses, and you can go do those on your own, with your friends, that sort of thing. Pretty exciting. This is where we're heading. All right. Back to E. The E stands for eat, or experience. The people who came up with bless like both words. They couldn't choose. And we're going to focus in on the E for eat this week. We're reading chapter 5 in the Bless book. If you haven't started the book yet, hey, we're only on chapter 5. Just jump right in. Get the book. You can order it today. It'll be there ASAP. And it's not too late. Don't miss it. The book's been great. And we're also grounding our work in the scripture. So I'd like to turn to the scripture this morning. And I want to set our practice of eating alongside this scripture to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do in our hearts. The scripture is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And I would like to invite up James, our scripture reader for this morning. James, you are among friends. Thank you so much for reading. Yeah.
Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He had tried to look at Jesus, but he was too short to oversee the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. For Jesus was going to pass that way when Jesus came by. He looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. The people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. If I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. This man has shown himself to be a true son of Abram, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we believe that you inspired Luke, the gospel writer, to record these words that James just read for us accurately. And we ask that you help us to enter into the reality that this story speaks of like never before. Work deeply in our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, what would happen if Zacchaeus climbed the tree and Jesus kept walking on by? There's Zacchaeus up in the tree. He sees Jesus. And that was it. Jesus just walked on by. End of story. Zacchaeus would sort of nod to himself. He accomplished his mission. And then all the people who Zacchaeus had robbed would stay poor. And Zacchaeus would stay hated and greedy. And he would stay trapped serving a corrupt government and stay malformed in a diminished worldview that prioritizes self-protection and self-comfort and self-survival. A worldview that stiff arms and ridicules the expansive and sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. That's what would have happened if Zacchaeus climbed the tree and Jesus walked on by. But that is not even close to what happened. So let's take another look. Jesus, verse 1, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. This is setting the scene. Jericho, big, bustling city center. Here he goes. Verse 2. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Nobody likes Zacchaeus. He is working for the occupying Roman government. Since Zacchaeus was good with numbers and he doesn't want to miss an opportunity, he takes a job working for the oppressors. It was a common practice for tax collectors to charge extra taxes and then pocket the extra, as if an IRS agent would charge you what you owe and then bump it up and keep the rest. Zacchaeus was a white-collar criminal, and he was hated for it. People kept him out of their social gatherings. They did their best to ignore him. They would not make eye contact. You don't want to see Zacchaeus coming. It does not go well for your bank account. But one day, Jesus shows up in town. And maybe Zacchaeus had heard stories of what Jesus had done. A blind man had called out for help just outside the town of Jericho. And Jesus had made his eyes work again. Maybe Zacchaeus had heard of the fierce love and grace in the tone of Jesus' voice when a woman caught in tangles of sin heard the words, "Neither do I condemn you." Maybe Zacchaeus had even heard rumors that Jesus had already called a tax collector named Matthew to follow him. And if Jesus could call a tax collector so hated by society, could he actually have a spot with Jesus? So a deep urge wells up in Zacchaeus' heart, and he goes and he has to see Jesus. Verse 3, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short. This would not have been my experience. He was too short to see over the crowd, and so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass this way. As his heart fills with this desire to see Jesus, the problem is the streets are packed. Every sector of society wants to see this famous Jesus, this famous rabbi, the elite, the tradesmen, other rabbis, the women. Jesus always elevated and honored women. The whole city is packed around the street, brought together by one purpose, eyes fixed on the road that soon Jesus will walk on. And into the mix of hundreds of people battling for a good view on the street comes our guy Zacchaeus, who had let his heart beat faster at the slight possibility that the hype might be real, but whose heart is now crushed as he stares at a wall of sweaty backs, giants blocking his way to the promised land. He presses in. He gets knocked in the elbows, shoved around, bonked by people's elbows in his face, and he starts to panic. Jesus is going to walk by, and I'm going to miss it. And then something keeps motivating him, welling up inside, and it's as if he says, "No, I can't miss this. This is too big. I can't miss Jesus. I don't know why. I got to see him to know if he's real. I just need to see Jesus." And so he looks ahead down the road, and he sees it. His ticket to the best seat in the house, the sycamore fig tree. And so he runs, he battles as the crowds just get bigger and bigger. He's jostling for, and then he makes it to the trunk of the tree. He grabs the lowest branch, looks up, takes a deep breath, and he climbs. And as he gets up into the tree, all of a sudden, like, the crowd gets really silent. And Zacchaeus thinks, he's coming. Jesus must be coming. Zacchaeus scoots out on a little branch, and he pushes the leaves away. And there, just around the building, walks Jesus. Every head in the crowd turns. Zacchaeus looks as Jesus watches closer and closer. Every head is following Jesus as he walks down the street. And then he slows down. And then Jesus stops right beneath Zacchaeus. And then Jesus looks up and locks eyes with Zacchaeus in the tree. And Zacchaeus feels something, senses something that maybe he hasn't felt in a while because so many people ignore him and push him away. Something in the way Jesus looked at him made him feel seen, like deeply seen, deeply known. And then Jesus says, "Quick, come down, for I must be a guest at your house today." Zacchaeus must have almost fallen out of the tree at that moment. Verse 6. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will bring them back four times as much." And Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." Hold on. 24 hours ago, Zacchaeus was robbing people of their money, and people were despising him for it, just 24 hours earlier. And now he's giving more than half of what he owns to the poor. And then people he's extorted, he's heaping profits on them. Did Jesus give some amazing teaching at his house about giving to others? The text doesn't actually say. Did Jesus say to Zacchaeus what he said to another rich young man, "Go and sell everything and give it to the poor"? The text doesn't say. What the text says is that Jesus saw Zacchaeus and he went to his house and had a meal with him. And that changed everything for Zacchaeus. Now, if Jesus could have eaten at anyone's house that day, why did he choose Zacchaeus? He had a crowd of people. He could have eaten with the mayor of Jericho and all the elites. Why did he choose Zacchaeus? I can think of three reasons. You might want to write these down. These three reasons have everything to do with loving our neighbors. Reason number one. Jesus saw Zacchaeus in a way that no one else did. Not even Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus saw himself as an outcast. Jesus saw him as a deeply loved friend. The crowds saw Zacchaeus as a greedy traitor. Jesus saw Zacchaeus as a generous, passionate man trapped in a system of greed and corruption. Zacchaeus needed Jesus to see him differently so that Zacchaeus could be who God created him to be. Number two, Zacchaeus needed somebody to renew his worth as a person. Zacchaeus had lost his identity, lost his community, lost his purpose. To renew his worth, Zacchaeus needed Jesus to call him by name. Knowing someone's name communicates, "Hey, I value you." To renew his worth, Jesus eats with him. He says, "I want to spend time with you. You're worth it." A shared meal, it communicates value. Number three, Jesus loving Zacchaeus impacts more people than just Zacchaeus. First, there were the friends at the meal who witnessed firsthand the transformation of their friend. Remarkable. You knew Zacchaeus your whole life, you're a business partner and corrupt actions, and all of a sudden you see your buddy just transformed and overflowing with generosity. You're like, what got into this guy? Who is this Jesus? And then there's all the people who've been extorted by Zacchaeus who get their money back fourfold. And then there's the poor people in Jericho who are impacted by Jesus eating with Zacchaeus. And then, maybe most importantly, there's the crowd. Could there have been someone in the crowd that day who saw Jesus choose Zacchaeus and was watching and realized that if Jesus can change Zacchaeus' life, maybe Jesus can change my life too. If there is hope for that man over there, maybe there's hope for me too. This is why I think Jesus set aside all his other plans, all his other priorities that day, and stopped under the sycamore tree to make dinner plans. And this is the Jesus that we follow. This is the Jesus who sends us into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our schools to love our neighbors. It changes everything. So let's set these three reasons for Jesus eating with Zacchaeus alongside the people around us on our street, in our work, at our apartment complex, at our school. First, Jesus calls us to see our neighbors in a way that no one else does. Your neighbors are deeply loved by God, every single one of them. Christians are called to see their neighbors not through political lenses, not through economic lenses, not through annoyed lenses or self-protecting lenses. We're called to see our neighbor through Jesus' lenses, deeply loved. Number two, Jesus calls us to communicate worth to our neighbors. A friend of mine says, Jesus is constantly meeting the Zacchaeuses of the world and blowing people's minds with how he interacts with them. While everyone pushes them away, Jesus welcomes them back into his circle. Now, just for a moment, let me speak to just you here in this room. Is that you? I wonder if that's you here today, that Jesus is welcoming you back into his circle. Knows you by name. Says, come to me. I love you. You have so much worth and value. Welcome into my love, and then frankly, welcome into the love of my family, which Jesus calls the church. Welcome here this morning to Covenant Grove. Jesus sees you and knows you, loves you, and welcomes you. Thinking outside this room, could this be true for people on your street? People across the hall. Jesus wants to meet them, welcome them into his circle. There's a space for them. And we as a church, we're called to welcome people. Hey, last night, I was talking with some friends about our shared love for the Lego Batman movie, and they were reminding me of how fond it is. And I was like, there's got to be a way I can fit this scene in because it's so perfect. As you know, there's this poignant moment in the Lego Batman movie where Batman is all alone in his island mansion sitting on his, is that his bat submarine? The bat jet ski. That's right, the bat jet ski. He's surrounded by a fleet of ships, and anybody know what he's eating? He's eating lobster thermidor, Batman's favorite food, and he's all alone. And in the movie, you can just hear him crunching it, and it's very, very sad. As the storyline progresses, Batman discovers the deep ache and absence in his heart for family, for community, and for friends. But by the end of the movie, he realizes the joy of sharing a meal with folks like this. The point is obvious. Even if your neighbor is a billionaire vigilante bachelor, they still need you to communicate value and worth to them. Am I right? Loving your neighbor will impact more than just your neighbor. We have no idea how many people will be blessed because of how you pray for your neighbor, how you listen to your neighbor, how you eat with them or share an experience with them. When someone is seen, when someone is valued, when someone is loved and given time, it changes their life. It just does. From our blessed book, the author says, "I'm convinced that eating with someone is one of the most powerful ways you can bless your neighbors and change the world." So let me give you a bunch of examples of what this could look like. Back in November, Ted and April Cloward in our church had been hearing us talk about loving your neighbors, and they thought, hey, we're going to invite our neighbors to Thanksgiving dinner. They hadn't ever done that before. And they just knocked on their neighbor's door, and they came over and they had a wonderful time. Awesome. Another example, Matthew Zollman, Donna and Bruce Dindol, Carla and Paul Hennings, Mike and Patty Bovenkirk, once a month they make a huge meal and go to Church in the Park, downtown Modesto, where this church happens, and they just feed a bunch of people. 70 pounds of meat a month, all the fixings, how fun. My family got desserts at Costco when we moved here in August, and we just knocked on a few neighbors' doors. I'm like, hey, we got these Costco sorbets. Always more food than one household can eat from Costco. You guys want to have some dessert with us? And they're like, sure, new neighbors on the street. And we just sat there on our sidewalk out front and got eaten by mosquitoes and ate sorbets together. Jeff and Holly Thornton, they just this past weekend brought some food over to a neighbor who had just had a baby. Easy. Here's a meal. And they ate together. I'm sure you have stories of significant meals with your neighbors. So, I want to give you two easy baby steps this week, because this is a challenge. The two easy baby steps to have a meal or a dessert or a coffee with someone who lives nearby is this. Start today with somebody you already know at this church. And after service, be like, hey, after the prayer walk, you want to go grab coffee. You do it with somebody who's familiar and who's heard the same message. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know you're asking me that because Neil said you should, you know. The second thing you could do, easy, is come back next Sunday. We're having our game day potluck in between services. And bring a little, whatever you're making for the Super Bowl later that day, just bring a little extra in the morning. And we're going to feast together and we can have a meal here. Easy baby steps. Yes, I hear some applause for that. Very good. Follow Jesus, and you will see people differently. Follow Jesus, and you'll use your time differently. You will love differently. You will even eat differently. Let's just pause right here and just give a moment of silence to think about that. Holy Spirit, what is it you want to say to us? What is it you have been saying to us through this scripture? Let's just take a minute and be still. Holy Spirit, is there somebody this week that maybe you bring to mind right now, or you bring to mind this week, who needs to see you and to be valued by you, and that can be done through a meal with us? Would you bring somebody to mind? And God, would you give us the courage and the strength to love like you love?